My belief is that where there is a power, there is a pressure, because women of Iran have a lot of power.
Yes.
That's why they put their first pressure on the women and try to silence them.
The more bondage they're put into, the more they are crying out for freedom, and they're seeking freedom, and they find that in Christ. They find freedom and hope and love, and it's something that they're not used to. Hey everyone, welcome back to Heart for Iran's Impact 32 podcast. As many of you know, Heart for Iran is a network of over 100 different ministries, all working to spread the gospel in Iran, Afghanistan, and the region. Today we're talking about the women in Iran and how they are part of a bigger movement of change in the nation. To help me talk about this, I have here with me a powerful Iranian woman and mother, Yelena Kashishabnuz. Yelena, thank you so much for being here with me.
Sure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yes, it's such an honor to have you here with me. And Yelena, over the years, we have seen a movement take place, specifically among the women in Iran, where the phrase women life freedom has become an anthem across the nation, and even globally we've seen it. Of the women who have felt oppressed for so long and are finally taking a stand against the injustice. And I believe you have such a special insight on this. And so I wanted to have you on here to just talk about this topic because I believe it's so important. Can you share with us a little bit, before we get into the topic, share with us a little bit about you, of where you come from, and you're working on our team now. Tell the audience what you're doing.
Sure. So I'm Armenian, so I have a Christian background. Yeah. I was born and raised in Iran in an Armenian Christian family.
Okay, wow.
As I say Christian, it was Orthodox Christian, so I was not born again.
Okay,
but still we had our, traditions, we had our separate community from the society. So I graduated my high school and then went to the university. I had my bachelor degree, and then suddenly when I was 28 years old, I decided to move out and then to come to United States. Yes.
Wow, okay.
So I came out when I was 28 years old, and I started my journey here.
Wow. Okay. At 28. And then did you get married right after that, after you came
here? No, actually, 10 years later, I was so lucky to meet my better half.
Yes.
Yes. And we got married. So it's this actually October. It's going to be our 11th year of anniversary. Yes.
Amazing.
And I have two children. I have two sons, and then one 9 and the other one 8 years old.
That's beautiful.
And I started working for Mohabbat, our channel, for about 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
We started with actually a women program.
Wow,
it was called I'm a Woman.
Okay.
And after that, after moving on about a year or so, I moved to our scheduling and programming division. So I'm now handling that part.
Wow, that's incredible. You're doing amazing things already.
You.
You're so
Thank
smart
you.
And powerful. I love it. So you, I feel like you have a special, just your pulse on the women of Iran already. And I just want to ask you to talk about some of the key social challenges that Iranian women are facing under the current regime. Is it, how are they resisting or coping with these pressures?
Yeah, I think first I want to mention that before this regime took over in Iran, which was at 1979, Iranian people were very freely moving forward. Mm. They had freedom. They were progressing in all different areas.
Yeah, which is not the Iran we see today.
Yes, I know. Education, economic, everything.
Wow.
Everything was moving forward. Unfortunately, after regime and that revolution, there's a lot of pressure on society, especially the women.
Yes.
Because my belief is that where there is a power, there is a pressure, because women of Iran have a lot of power.
Yes.
That's why they put their first pressure on the women and try to silence them, try to, put a struggle for them so they they, you know, they start wearing hijab and right. they make them legally discriminated, which right. that means in marriage, in divorce, yes. in inheritance, yes. in child custody, everywhere there is a challenge.
They don't have the same rights.
No. yeah. Like, let me give you an example. When I have three, two sisters yeah. and one brother.
Okay.
So my father, yeah. Basically, he has three daughters right. and one son. Okay. God forbid, in case he passes away, yeah. the all inheritance typically goes to my brother.
Wow.
Even they're going to ignore my mom's presence.
Wow. Yeah.
And most of the inheritance goes to my son, goes to my brother. So
the women are not even considered.
The women are not considered,
wow.
unfortunately.
Wow.
And it's not that only. Also, when you're looking in Iran, you see women have to wear a hijab.
Right.
And then you come out the country, still the families are carrying that tradition with
right.
them.
Even when it's not legally.
I mean, they don't have to wear hijab.
Right.
So because the mindset is coming with them and the mindset is with the family.
Yeah.
So I see when I, especially when I go to California,
right.
there's a lot of Muslim families.
Yeah.
I see men's are wearing short and they are, you know, walking and looking at the woman.
Completely normal. Yeah. Right.
And then they are covering their wives
right.
and their daughters. So the mindset
standard,
and the pressure
yeah.
are
yeah.
Very severe.
Yeah. Very prevalent. Wow. And it's just like sometimes it's unthinkable and it doesn't make sense to the mind. Like you said, like the men are just living their lives freely
exactly.
and they're covering their own wives, but then their eyes are wandering elsewhere. It's like there's no bounds. It's just this oppressive.
Yeah.
Religion
and they also
yeah.
women rights are not, respected in Iran.
Right.
If the man cheated on wife, there's not a lot of punishment. But
right.
if the same thing happens to women, they can be stoned to death.
Punishable by death.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Wow. And so that kind of leads me to economically, you talked a little bit about, you know, how women are just not considered in society at all, or even in families as the equal humans. What would you say economically? Because I know it's very similar in trying to get jobs and all of these other things. How would you say they are doing with that? Are there opportunities for them? Or
so nowadays I can see a lot of brighter side in especially capital city Tehran and all the other bigger cities. They are treating women more equally, but still there's challenges.
Right.
They're underpaid and they are not considered as the higher positions. But also here's the thing, women, even though that there is a pressure, they don't stay quiet. They go after education.
Right.
They are very creative. They have this entrepreneurship character in them, and they go after to open businesses and just go beyond their right. So when I was actually in Iran, there's this downtown area which used to be all men's store. Like all the owners were men because it was a tougher place to be.
Yeah.
But lately, I could see the women are kind of, just owning the businesses and running stores, which was kind of warming.
Yeah, that's incredible. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
because I feel like we're seeing more and more women just rising up and taking their place. And even you, when you were 28, moving to a different country. I mean, I can't imagine that. I've lived in this area my whole life. And so even at the age of 28, just completely picking up and moving.
Yeah,
life,
it was very hard. I wouldn't say it was not. But
absolutely.
I think one thing that helped me, my father was always pushing us to learn English.
Yeah.
And I was always... thinking, okay, we are living here. We
right.
are not going
You're like,
anywhere.
I don't need English.
Why do I yeah. need English? Actually, there's a lot of English yeah. institutes that
okay,
are
wow.
in Iran, so there people are, you know, just, you know, going and learning. So,
yeah.
and that kind of pushed me a little bit
right.
my me forward, and also yeah. coming here and working in an environment which I
right.
was more, you know, mm-hmm. working with Americans
right.
helped me to pick up my speaking
yes,
and pick
yeah.
up my,
so
you
just
know, English.
In the culture
yes.
part of it.
Yes. Exactly.
Well, you're doing really great.
Thank you.
You've been here for so long now. But that, yeah, that kind of moves me to spiritually, because our ministry is so focused on evangelism, getting the gospel.
Yeah.
I mean, that is our whole heart, is getting the gospel to the Iranian people and the Great Commission of going into all the world. And we have seen more and more that women are, specifically women, are turning from the religion that they know and
yeah.
turning toward Christ.
Yeah.
Spiritually, what would you say, what role does Christianity play in the lives of Iranian women today, and how are they finding faith in such a restrictive environment?
So I could say, first, the Iranians mm. are rejecting
yeah.
organized religion.
Yes.
Because they are tired of. Because
they see the flaws, yeah,
yes,
and the oppression.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some of them are seeking their thirst in worldly things,
yeah.
but majority of Iranian, mm. because they are very spiritual
yes.
People,
yeah.
They are finding this mm. meaning in
yes.
Christianity, because wow. Christianity doesn't just speak about religion,
mm-hmm.
doesn't speak about 5 to 10 you know, rituals
right.
that you have to do in order to go to heaven.
Be right before
or
God.
Be,
yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So they are actually
yeah.
Looking for the way, a true
mm-hmm.
way of life,
mm-hmm.
Life which is which only it's been given by Christ.
Wow.
So Christianity has a very, very big role
mm.
in this sense. And I also believe, and I was in Iran,
yeah.
even though we were going into Orthodox Church,
mm.
I was seeing when the days that we didn't have any ceremony or anything going on,
mm.
I would see a lot of Muslim women,
yeah.
women coming in and praying,
wow.
and they were looking for answers.
Mm.
So, and a funny thing was, it was not regular Muslim, because
yeah.
there were two type of Muslims.
Yeah.
There are the ones that are very religious,
right.
and they're wearing mostly burqa.
Mm.
And there's another
full cover.
Yeah,
yeah,
full cover.
Yeah.
So the most of the time I would see
mm.
were the one who were wearing like full cover.
Wow.
They were coming into
wow.
church and they were looking.
Wow.
So the thirst, as God says, he's the only one who can,
yes.
who can, you know,
satisfy.
Fulfill and
yes.
satisfy our thirst. So
yes.
they are looking for answer. And
that's
more
incredible.
Pressure they put on the people,
mm.
they get more thirsty.
Right.
Because they see that that
right.
is not going to, you know,
yes.
cover their thirst.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like the more bondage they're put into, the more they are crying out for freedom, and they're seeking
exactly.
freedom, and they find that in Christ. They find freedom
yeah.
and hope and love, and it's
yeah.
something that they're not used to.
Yeah.
They're just used to a lot of rules and a lot of, you know, a lot of oppressive, you know.
Yeah. And the
things,
person
yeah.
and a lot of them love to have a personal, an
right.
intimate relationship
right,
with God,
exactly.
which they cannot find it through
right.
that their prayers that
right.
are happening, you know, a specific time.
Right.
So.
Yeah, they're finding it in the relationship.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, I also want to talk about, there is just, like we just said, there is change happening in Iran where people
yes.
are turning from what they've known, this heavy bondage, and turning toward freedom. What would you say women specifically, what role are they playing in this bigger movement? Because I know I've heard testimonies of, even when we talk about the children, and when the children get saved, then they're sharing it with their family and their communities. What about the women? What change are they initiating?
So women have a big role in the family,
mm.
even though they they're trying to undermine their role, but they have a big role.
Yeah.
And also, we have to remember, 2 years ago, the movement that started, that was Women, Life, Freedom, was started because of murdering a woman that was protesting and standing for the rights of not wearing hijab.
Wow.
But not only that happened, also men started supporting women.
Wow.
So after that movement, which started from a woman, men started, you know, following them and protesting them. And I think social media is, is you know, having a huge role in this place. I know a lot of women have networks, and they just make social you know, contents and groups, and they you know, try to follow through with the beliefs and you know, things that they want, and they move it forward.
Wow. And it's incredible, because what's being shut down is their voice. Is what they have to say, but then that is the thing that is initiating change in the nation, is when their voices are heard, when they're speaking out. And we've seen it even more in the recent years of this movement of Women, Life, Freedom. Just, it's just been incredible to watch, because you see these strong women who are facing imprisonment and death and torture, but they're still being brave enough to say something and speak up for not just them, but their kind, the womankind in the country. And so it's
they're not scared, for sure.
Right.
And also, they're encouraging the women outside the country.
Exactly.
When that movement started, I was seeing a lot of other women, another part of the country, word that they were cutting their hairs. They were standing with the, you know, very huge.
Yeah, and sometimes we don't realize, like, that is, because that's the biggest part of the culture, is when they're standing up, they're cutting their hair. And us here, we're like, it's just hair. But it's a symbol.
Yes,
seriously.
That's true.
And it means so much. That's incredible. We want to, so for the listeners that are listening, and they want to support the cause of Iranian women, both socially and spiritually, we're hearing these stories and we say, how can we encourage them? How can we spur them on to make a difference? How can our listeners be a part of that?
The Western listeners have a huge role, because we are standing united.
Yes.
We are not alone in this. And we are all part of our body of Christ.
Yes.
So we have to spread the awareness.
Mm.
We have to talk about it.
Yes.
We have to be willing to go to petition, you know, just advocate for rights. If we see a woman's right is being pushed down, we need to stand for it. We need to, you know, get a petition and, you know, and spread it through the social media.
Right.
Also, and I think prayer has a big, big effect on the things that are happening in Iran. So my question, or my, what I'd like to ask our viewers, when if you're a mother, you're praying for salvation of your kids, pray for Iranian family, because God's work through the prayer, and our prayers are going to be answered. We may not know the person, but when we are praying for them, we know that God is planting the seeds.
That's beautiful. That's incredible. There's so much power in prayer, and we've seen that. Even recently, our ministry has been doing a monthly prayer call where we all come on the Zoom and we have just this beautiful time of prayer and petitioning the Lord for the people of Iran and the nation of Iran. And, you know, I've seen on social media more recently, there's just a lot of hate toward the nation. It's like, that is the enemy. That is the, but we want to say we support Iranian people and the underground church movement that's happening. It's not it's not that we support an oppressive government. No, we support the people that are being oppressed, and we want their voices to be heard. And so us in the Western audience, we are committed to supporting our brothers and sisters.
Yes, and really. I think, yes, we need to also like donate or help out the ministries that are providing some contents for Iranians.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the satellite channels, because, and also showing the real life that even though we are here, we are still facing some challenges.
Absolutely.
When they see these challenges, they know that we are next to them. We are not talking about the mountain, and we think that just because we are here, we don't have any suffering, we don't have any challenges. We can be like them.
Yes.
So in that, you know, in that sense, then we are, you know, just kind of asking them that this can be changed, because God is a God who likes to change. And they can, the God can change the situation for them.
Yes, absolutely. Yelena, thank you so much for being here with me. It has been incredible to hear from you, and you have so much power and insight. And I think your voice needs to be heard more. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, and I really appreciate you inviting me.
Yes, absolutely. And for those of you tuning in, we just want to say thank you for joining us for this special episode. We would love to stay connected with you. So you can visit us online at heartforiran.com or on social media at Heart for Iran. Or if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to email us. We also talked about the prayer call that's happening once a month. If you want to be a part of that, that is open to you. So please, you can contact us. You can email us at info@heartforiran.com, and we would love to stay connected with you. So stay tuned for what's to come on the Impact 32 podcast.